church didn't get burned down. Please stand in body or in spirit. Teach us, Lord, the meaning of your laws, and we will obey them at all times.
Explain your laws to us, and we will obey them. We will keep it with all our hearts.
Keep us obedient to your commandments, because in them we find happiness.
Give us the desire to obey your laws rather than to take rich.
Keep us from paying attention to what is worthless. Be good to us, as you have promised.
Keep your promise to us, Jesus, the promise you made to those who obey you.
Save us from the insults we fear. How wonderful are your judgments.
We want to obey your commandments. Give us new life, for you are righteous.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name.
Through Jesus
Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. At this time, children are released for jam while we do our gathering hymn.
Thank you.
to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us towards all that gives life and salvation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading this morning is from Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity. But their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortals, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now, the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy its desires. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew, the 18th chapter. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two or three of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I was tempted to say that this is the law of our Lord. That sounds like a pretty harsh text today, but I will do my very best to convince you otherwise through my sermon. So, as you know, Luther Seminary is now happily my alma mater. And it has a website, you may not know this, called Working Preacher. It's meant to be a resource for, as the name says, working preachers like me. And each week, a Luther professor writes a letter to us working preachers to give us encouragement and insight into the texts of the week. Well, this week, Rolf Jacobsen, my favorite professor, wrote this. He said, "The sin-laden, law-centered world is in desperate need of gospel preachers." Now, why does he say this? Because I think, to rearrange Rolf's words just a little bit, I think this sin-laden, law-centered world is in desperate need of hearing the gospel. Because we are in desperate need of hearing the gospel. Now, why is that? One, because we sin. A lot. I know, that sounded a lot like law, didn't it? We sin a lot, we hurt ourselves and others. And others sin. They sin a lot, they hurt themselves and us. And when someone dares to sin against us, Geneva, I saw you had a cane today. Can I borrow it? Well, I don't know. You might like it. When someone dares sin against us, this cane here becomes the law. When someone sins against us, we poke them with this cane. We prod them with this cane. And if that doesn't work, we beat them over the head with the cane of the law. Yes. That's right. Ron, I'm sorry, Geneva uses this law cane on you far too often. When we get mad enough, I already did that. We make sure that they know they sinned against us. But here's the thing. We're sinners too, right? Now, have any of you, other than Mike here and Ron, been beaten over the head with the cane of the law? I know I have. I didn't really hit you, so be nice. All right. So what's even worse than this, I think, and this is true for me, I know. Sometimes I use the law to poke and prod myself. Sometimes I will hit myself over the head with the law. Now, what do I mean by this? Sometimes I think we should ourselves to death. I should have done this. I should have done that. Should have done this better. I should have done that better. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was really bad. That was bad of me. I shouldn't have done that. We don't give ourselves a break. We lack self-compassion. And if we don't give ourselves a break, if we don't give compassion to ourselves, then you better believe that we're not going to give any compassion to this screw up over there, right? And the cycle repeats over and over and over again. Now, lest I be accused of being a Lutheran that doesn't believe in the law. We've talked before that the law is for our benefit. It's good and beautiful. And yet, sometimes, as Rolf tells us, we are too law-centered. Sometimes the cure, I think, for our sin-laden world is not more law, it is more gospel. Kind of like that, you know, Saturday Night Live skit, more cowbell. We need more gospel. What? No one else has seen that? I've seen it. Anyway, I don't think it's a mere coincidence, though, that Rolf reminds us this week that us working preachers need to be careful with these texts this week. This text from Matthew, it can be dangerous. It can be used to beat people over the head. And wow, that text from Ezekiel, that's a tough one. That text has been used to beat people. So in my copy of the NRSV, the reading from today from Matthew is under the heading, Reproving Another Who Sins. Now, obviously, this text is meant to show us, the ones who don't sin, how to correct those who have sinned against us, right? Never the other way around, right? How often do we read this text as we are the ones who have wronged another and need this three-step reproof used to bring us? And then comes the reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel says this, if you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. So we think we're Christian. We aren't wicked. Ezekiel is telling us, the Christian, to go tell the evil people of this world to repent. And if we don't go out and tell them that they are wicked, their blood will obviously be on our hands. You see how this can be dangerous, right? I hope. It almost gives us Christians the ability to go out into the world and say, my Bible says what you are doing is wicked, and I must tell you about it. And we beat them over the head with that law. But here's the thing. In this text, Ezekiel is reporting to us what God wants him, as in Ezekiel, to do. God is telling Ezekiel that if he doesn't do his job and tell the Israelites to repent, their blood will be on his, Ezekiel's, hands. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not quite ready. Maybe once I'm ordained, but right now I'm not quite ready to put myself on the level of a biblical prophet like Ezekiel. Right? But that doesn't mean that we should read this text as irrelevant to us. Far from it. Again, I ask the same question. Isn't it kind of presumptuous for us to believe that we are the ones that are meant to call the wicked to repentance? I mean, we're sinners, are we not? Shouldn't we be reading this text as we are the ones being called to repentance? Quite a different way to read that text. Now, if you're sitting here saying, hey, Sean, I thought you said that this sin-laden, law-centered world is in desperate need of hearing gospel, but you just beat me over the head with the law with two different passages from today. You are absolutely right. And I'm not sorry, because as our good friend Martin Luther once said, the good news of the gospel is by no means meant to be preached to those who do not acknowledge their sin. Such persons must be hammered by the law until their pride and stubbornness of heart is crushed. Only then can it be right to preach to them forgiveness and grace. It's one of my favorite Luther quotes. That guy. Have I sufficiently hammered you with the law this morning? Is your pride and stubbornness of heart crushed? Are you ready to receive some grace? You ready? Okay. Okay. Forgiveness and grace. And I think we're ready for that gospel. Let me turn this cane around the other way. So it's like a half a thing. So your cane's safe, Geneva. So this is kind of like a cane. But it also can be turned around this way. And I think when we hold our cane this way, with this curved end up, it makes a really big difference. I mean, I could still come over here and hit Mike with it, but that's not what this is meant to do. What does this look like to you all?
Shepherd's staff.
A shepherd's staff, also known as a shepherd's crook. And it's important that it has this crook end, this curved end. In the reading from Matthew today, it begins, "If another member of the church sins against you, go point out the fault when the two of you are alone." And if that doesn't work, go to plan B and then plan C. Well, before that reading, there is a well-placed parable. And it's not there by accident. What's it about? The lost sheep. Did you hear me rehearsing this last night, or are you just guessing? What do you think, Jesus says, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave his 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over a 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that a single one of these little ones be lost. So, I'm a Christian. I'm here on Sunday. I'm at church exactly where a Christian should be. You're all here. Sunday, you're exactly where Christians should be. We're most certainly part of the 99, right? But what if, and I know this sounds crazy, what if more often than not, we are completely and utterly lost? See some head nodding. What if more often than not, we are that one? And what if, and this is going to be a bit heretical, and I've done this before, what if Jesus did the math wrong on this parable? What if, I mean, look around. We all have nice clothes on and whatnot. We all kind of look like we have it together. Raise your hand if you have it all together. No? Not one? What if the 99 are lost? And that one annoying person that has it all together is the one. What if all of us are lost? And that's where the shape of this shepherd's crook is very important. When it comes to rescuing his 100 sheep, Jesus isn't going to hit us with the law end of the cane. That's not how Jesus works. No. He uses the crook end of this cane to pull us out of the trouble that we've gotten ourselves into or someone else has pushed us into. He runs over here. Mike got himself stuck in the mud again, right? For like the 80th time this year. And Jesus comes over and he pulls Mike out of the mud again with the crook end of his shepherds. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Sorry. Is your neck okay? But I mean, that's what a shepherd uses this for. You ever see a little kid get their head stuck in a something, right?
The rails of the
stick. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now imagine a sheep that's got their head stuck in a fence. You or you? Don't hurt Tracy. Andrea got her head stuck in the fence again. Probably not going to use the shepherd's crook, but Jesus comes and he helps get us unstuck. He's just running back and forth to all of us because we're all lost. Like, that's his whole day, trying to figure out how to save us from the mud and the railing. All of them, except for that one annoying person that has it all together, are constantly wandering off, getting stuck in the mud, getting stuck in fences, getting stuck in the bushes and the shrubs. And always, always, the good shepherd shows up. Not to beat us with the law end of the cane and admonish us for getting stuck in the first place. No, to help us get out of the mud, to help us get our head unstuck from that fence. I mean, we've just had our head stuck in the fence for a month and a half. We need to hear the good news, the life-changing grace only made available in Jesus Christ. We need the good shepherd to reach out that crook and pull us to safety. We need the shepherd, all of us, the lost 99 of First Lutheran, or how many ever there are of you here today. We all need Jesus to pull us to safety. No matter how lost we are, how lonely, how desperate, how unworthy we feel, Jesus is always, always seeking and looking to bring us back into his fold. And I think that's why it's important that we always read this dangerous passage along with this parable. This passage about reproving another who sins, read alone, like I said, is so dangerous. It can be used to kick people out of church. That's what binding a sin is. It's saying you are no longer welcome here. So before we hastily read Jesus' instructions here as law and use the law end of this staff to beat people, might we turn it around and use the crook end to pull people back in? Because remember, Jesus would leave 99 of us to save just one. So might we reach out with this crook end of the cane? Might we reach out with love in our hearts, knowing that one of those who is lost is hurting and needs the shepherd's crook to welcome them, to pull them in, not to be beaten over the head? Might that be what Jesus is calling us to today? Not to cast out, but to pull in. So I want to end with a story about Naomi and Jenna. I didn't know them until yesterday afternoon. I met them outside of a church in Marion at the Popcorn Festival. I was helping Lydia raise money for the Scouts. It's awful. Don't ever do it. But Naomi and Jenna are part of their church's media team, and they're members of their youth group. At first, they wanted to interview just Scouts, and then, you know, my loudmouthed daughter in her interview said, "You should go talk to my dad. He's a pastor." At which point I said, "No, he's not a pastor, but I'll still talk to you." And so they came over, and they interviewed me, and after that, I conducted a bit of an interview of my own. I said, "A lot of people your age don't go to church. Why are you spending your Saturday doing work for your church? Why are you here in the first place?" Now, Naomi told me that she's been going to that church for most of her life, and the people of that church are like her family. I love that story. But Jenna's story, it was all too familiar. Because of an experience she had at another church, she became disillusioned. But it really wasn't a church problem. Remember when I said that this is a sin-laden world? That's right. It's not a church problem. It's a church people problem. A church people problem because people sin. Something happened that caused her to step away from church. I didn't pry, but I can only guess that there was some prodding and poking and whacking over the head with the law and of this king. But of course, the sermon doesn't end like that. You know how sometimes I say that we're called to put on Jesus, to act as Jesus to our neighbor. I think Paul even said it today, clothe yourselves in Jesus. Well, Naomi, that first teenager, she put on Jesus. She became the good shepherd to Jenna. You want to come to youth group with me? She asked her. She turned that shepherd's crook around. It's right there in Psalm 23. I think Naomi knows Psalm 23 better than we often do. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's right. Jenna experienced the comfort of the one good shepherd through Naomi, and she was brought back into the fold. Now, one final twist to that story. Yesterday was a really rough day for me. I spent most of the day not only selling crap for scouts, but beating myself up. I had no self-compassion for myself yesterday. I was not a child of God yesterday. I had no grace for myself yesterday. My head was stuck in that fence all day. Some of you may say that my head is often stuck somewhere. And then I met my new friends, Naomi and Jenna. They witnessed to Jesus Christ. They put on Jesus. They became the good shepherd to me. They used a crook of the staff to pull me out of the muck and the mire that I was in. They comforted me. They restored my soul. And to know that when we are lost, Jesus will stop at nothing, nothing to find us. That, I think, is the good news that a sin-laden, a law-centered world, a sin-laden, a law-centered people most certainly needs to hear. And for that, and of course, for Naomi and Jenna, I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Can I keep this? Just go. Thank you.
Thank you.
you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostle Creed.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
Generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
Hold us accountable, O God. Show your church where repentance is needed and lead us in paths of intentional compassion and listening. Where we have sinned against others, let us humbly ask forgiveness. Where we have sinned against, let us extend our hand and offer a path to reconciliation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Inspire us to lead with honor, O God. Many of us fear for the future of this country and for the world. Guide judges and legislators, police and government officials to create and uphold just laws. Move us to treat all people with dignity and guide our conversations with one another. As the G20 summit concludes today, we pray that wealthy nations find ways to cooperate with one another and seek to use their vast resources and power to encourage peace, not war, abundance of food, not famine, and work for equity across all the nations so that your inbreaking kingdom may be more fully realized in this world. Merciful God,
reveal your miracles to us, O God. Move us to cherish you as we behold the wonders of creation. Renew the seas and the soil, the forest and the creatures that live in them. Turn us to ways of living that seek Earth's thriving and guide us in ways that allow us to live at one with your creation. Merciful God,
help us comfort those who suffer, O God. Reassure any who are harmed by the wicked acts of others. Bring peace to all who are vulnerable, frightened, despairing, and those who ask, why would God let this happen? We pray this day especially for the family and friends of Jersey. Gloria, Jean, Jim, Beth, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We continue to pray for those impacted by the Maui wildfires and by the recent hurricanes. And we also lift to you today, God, those who were impacted and whose lives were lost, the family members in the recent earthquake in Morocco. Guard the waking and sleeping of all who we have named. Merciful God,
awaken us, O God. Challenge and encourage your people to value the vocation to which each is called. Equip us to work mercifully in our current vocations. And for those discerning new possibilities or changing employment, give them courage and strength. In all our diverse callings, teach us to love one another above all else. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Tomorrow marks 22 years since the 9/11 terrorist attacks. We continue to remember those whose lives were lost. And we pray for the families and friends who mark this day with difficulty and pain. We pray that they may find peace. We also pray this day that you reconcile the nations and show us the way to eliminating the extreme ideas and beliefs that led to this attack and to all senseless violence, both here and across the globe. merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and other prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We are fed by God's very own self with God's very own hand. Come to this table where all are welcome. Please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Jesus Christ, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by his food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated for some announcements. Brief ones, so we can all do the thing and go home. unless you all want to stay all day, that's fine. Okay. Number one, community dinner on Wednesday. Thank you, Becky, Ron, and Geneva. And, you know, Becky's fine husband back there, too. I assume maybe he'll buy them. Anyway, we need some more hamburgers, some more Worcestershire sauce, some A1 steak sauce, some salsa. Apparently, this is all going into a meatloaf, so you can bring rancid hamburger, from what I can tell, because they are really dressing that up. Anyway, so if you're able to donate some food, or if you're able to bring come and work at that, that would be wonderful. That is this Wednesday. All right. Very quickly, please stay after the service. If you are, so all are welcome to stay. If you are a member, please definitely stay and vote on the name for our something new that we are doing together. We will do that immediately following the service. Thank you for all of your support for Hopewood Outdoors. That number is listed in the bulletin. Wonderful. We continue to collect money for Lutheran Disaster Relief. Grief Share started, Kathy, right?
Starts tomorrow,
and you will be over there. Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. Kathy will be there. So if you just want to hang out with Kathy, go on over. And then everything else. Oh, Ron and Becky, I know you went on Wednesday to this Bible study such thing. Liked it. So anyone else go? Anyway, so show up at Trinity on Wednesday at 7, and that will be session 2 to learn about Lutheran liturgy. All right, read. and with that, we will continue. What's that? Oh, we have a work day. If you want to come work Thursday, is that what we said? 10 o'clock. All right, if you want to come clean up the church. Rummage sale. Yeah. So, anyway.
I got one.
Go.
Work day number 2, Friday, a Christmas prom committee. We're going to be cutting a couple of trees down in front here. We're going to start about 9 in the morning. There's 4 of us doing it now. Anyone wants to join the fun? You know, cut things, break things.
Would they, after you're done doing that, would you like to help move stuff? We could make that a part of the same work day. Gotcha. All right. Okay. With that, we will continue on with our closing hymn and collect our noisy offering for Lutheran Disaster Relief. Response. Thank you.
peace, be reconciled to your neighbor.
Thanks be to God.
Please, please, please.